Okay, I'm locking on the mic here, and so now I guess you're going to have to you're going to have to listen to me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with humble hearts, thanking you for your tremendous word. Your New Testament that was written in the Koine we're studying tonight, and we pray for the strength and for the zeal to study the original language of your New Testament spoken forth through chosen ones by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we know that you would sanction this time of study. We know that understanding the original Koine language brings forth a more fruitful understanding of your word, and no doubt you would join in that. We know that. And so we pray for your strength and for the energy and for the zeal of learning this language so that we can understand your word even the more fully. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen. Okay, folks, well, tonight, we're going to go over the Koine Greek alphabet. And then what I'm planning, you should be writing the lowercase Koine Greek alphabet that was your assignment. One of the assignments, you should get used to writing the lowercase letters at least of the Koine. You know, at first it might seem that you can't form the letters really well, but you just keep on doing it, and after a while you're going to get used to it, and you should understand each letter where it comes in the alphabet. And then we're going to, if you go to our text, we're going to be studying about the formation of the Greek letters. That's on page 5, breathing marks, Greek punctuation, Greek accents. And then there are some forms at the end of lesson 1 on page 8 that we're going to be reading. We're going to be pronouncing these forms correctly. And again, I do know in saying that pronouncing the Koine is very important. I have a couple examples for you. Let's say, for instance, you called here and you said to me, "Hey, Mike, where's Diane?" And I said, "Oh, she's out shopping." Well, you'd think, "What, shopping? What is it? What, she in the garden using some new implement? Shopping out there?" Or if I said, if you said, "Hey, Mike, what are you doing right now?" And I said, "Oh, man, I'm looking at this guy ruining down the street." You'd say, "Ruining down the street? What is he, like, in his car bashing back and forth down the road, ruining things, ruining?" No, of course, I meant shopping. Diane is out shopping. But if I said shopping, you would have, you might have no idea of what I'm talking about. And I'm watching a guy running. But if I said ruining, you would, you'd wonder, you know, what my problem is, if I'm, you know, too Polish or what. So, just in those small examples, you can see that we're not used to speaking the Koine to somebody that speaks it all the time. And so pronunciation of the Koine is extremely important. And I think I just made that point to you. And that's very important. So I'm going to be a real stickler on pronunciation of Koine Greek forms because, you know, I particularly don't want to be lazy in the Lord's language, and I'm sure you don't either. So let's go over the alphabet again. And again, if you don't, you know, if you're not writing this out and getting used to it, the only person, if Yeah, I agree with that. If you don't, if you're not into this, you're just hurting yourself. You're just hurting yourself because what I'm going to do is I'm going to, unfortunately, Kathy sold her lexicon, but that's okay. What we're going to be doing in the future is we're actually going to be looking up forms in this analytical lexicon. And so, you know, that'll be something that right off the bat we can use. You know, if you, you know, if you don't hang around in this class for a long period of time, I can at least say that you should be able to move into the Koine Greek lexicon, that is the Greek dictionary, and you should be able to find forms in there that are in your interlinear or in your Koine Greek New Testament. You'll be able to look them up. And so a couple of years ago I didn't take this way of attack, but I think that I think what I'm going to try to do is that as we learn the Koine and you know verbs, nouns and such, cases and everything, I'm going to try to mix in scriptures with each lesson, or at least a working, kind of like a hands-on working thing, so you're actually working with what we're learning. I'm going to attempt to do that as best I can, you know, and I think that's going to be real fruitful because as we go, you're going to be actually working with it, and you're going to be you know, it's something you can use. So after we learn the alphabet here, we're going to be looking at the lexicon. And, you know, after a couple of three times of being in this class, you should be able to at least not be afraid of your Koine Greek lexicon or your Koine Greek dictionary. Okay, does that make sense to you? All right, great, thanks. Okay, so let's look at the alphabet again, page 2 and 3. And we're going to look at the lowercase alphabet and pronounce it. And like I said, there's a couple of letters in here that some so-called scholars disagree with. They might disagree with me, or actually in here there's a couple of examples where, like in alpha, there's a long and short version if you look at it. And with an iota, apparently there's a long and short version. Or with an upsilon, they have in this text no sound. They have in this, can everybody hear me? All right, are you saying that some of you can hear me and some can't? Okay, hold on. Can you hear me now? Am I coming through good now? No. Am I coming through good now? Am I coming through good now? Hold on a second. What the heck is all this? Hold on.
Okay, let me get rid of that.
Okay. Okay, can you hear me now? Okay, what I'm going to do, sorry about that.
It was scanning now.
So yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold my button on this mic. You know, if I lock it on, something goofy happens. So I'm finger on the mouse. Apparently, go to the alphabet and get what we can, okay? Thank you very much. We'll look at the alphabet and pronounce. You should be writing these. It's very important. All right. First letter, alpha. It's not alpha, it's alpha. Next is beta. It's not beta. It's next is gamma. It's not gamma, it's gamma. Seriously. It's like shopping and shopping. The next one's delta. The next is epsilon. The next is zeta. It's not zeta. It's zeta. It's like a DZ. Zeta. The next one is eta. Eta. The next one is theta. Not theta. Theta. The next one I am pronouncing as iota. Iota. The next is kappa. Not kappa. Kappa. It's an alpha. Kappa. The next is lambda. Lambda. The next is mu. Mu. The next is nu. Nu. The next is xi, like wax at the end. Wax. Xi. We're on xi. There, Jason. The next is omicron. It's not omicron. So again, when we say the form logos, it's not logos. Again, it would be like saying shopping instead of shopping. And so, you know, even though that might seem kind of trite and very stickling, like a stickler, it's true. It's not logos, it's logos. It's not lambda omega. It's lambda omicron. Omicron. The next is P. It's not pi. It's P. The next one is rho. The next is sigma. The next is tau. The next is upsilon. Upsilon. And then we have phi. We have chi. We have psi. Psi. And then finally, we have omega. And I know that when I first learned the Greek alphabet, it was in the area of the zeta, eta, theta that kind of threw me. And it was in the area of the phi, chi, psi. Because, you know, in the English alphabet, those are kind of different. And then also one letter that might take you back is the key after nu. You know, mu, nu, xi. It should be xi. And that one always was hard to remember. But then going over it again, we have alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, p, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. All right, and then the lowercase there, we understand that the original scriptures, of which there are none, they're called the autographs, and there might be just slight fragments of the Gospel of John that are original, but they're like big pieces, they're not even pages. And so we do not have the original autographs, but the earliest translations of those autographs that occurred in the second century could be traced back as far as 100 AD or 150 AD, were all written in the uppercase letters with no punctuation, and so in columns. And so when you saw the original scriptures, all you saw was capital letters without any punctuation, without any septum forms at all. And so that in itself is an interesting kind of like sideline knowledge to know. And so, you know, we have to give it to some great men and women that went in there and went to the original went to the earliest translations, and they painstakingly took them apart. You know, something, if you study the history of the scriptures, after a while you're gonna go, man, I should really be thankful for this scripture after all of the hard work and all of the sacrifice and all of the lives sacrificed to have it within our hands. Sincerely, many people have no idea what it took to get this jewel into our hands. And then not only that, is what they do with the jewel on top of it. So it's, I think the evil one has done great work as far as blinding the minds of human beings and what their potential is. Every potential human being, in a sense, is potentially a member of the church, which is Christ's body. You know? And so, I don't know, sometimes I think like that, and how important human life is. Even if one is a babe in Christ, how important that life is, that somebody could come to know Christ. So human life is extremely important, you know. That's my opinion from that standpoint of view. Alright, let's turn to, let's go over the vowels again. We went over the diphthongs on page 4. Turn to that. And we'll go over those again. There's 7 diphthongs. A diphthong is where 2 vowels in the Koine are come together, and they particularly have their own sounding translation. We'll go over that real quickly again. Page 4. Alpha iota is pronounced I, as an I'll or as an I own, meaning age. Epsilon iota is pronounced A. So we have I, alpha iota, and we are alpha iota, and we have A, epsilon iota, as in 8, or Eirene, meaning peace. The next one is omicron iota, pronounced oi, as in oil, or the Greek form oikos, meaning house. The next one is upsilon iota, pronounced qui, like in sweet, or in the very important quias, meaning son. And we are adopted sons, by the way, which is very important. I keep on hammering that fact, but it's, a son is different than a child. And we should understand what a son of God, an adopted son of God, is, and what is required of us. And it's different than being a babe in Christ, and that's a fact. The next one is alpha upsilon, pronounced au, as in Faust, or the Greek form autos, meaning self. The next one is epsilon upsilon, pronounced u as in feud, or ulagetas, which means blessed be or praise be to our dear Heavenly Father. That's found in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be is the Greek form ulagetas, meaning actually praise be unto the Father. And the last one is omicron upsilon, pronounced u as in soup, or in the important form uranas. We have to get the proper accent there. It's on the last omicron. Uranas. And we're going to be going over some accents here, okay? So when you look at a Greek form, it's really important to look at it. Look at it, if there's any diphthongs in it. Look at how it's formed. Look at the breathing mark. That's the little, if you look in your text, you have a little comma over the second vowel in the example column for these Greek forms. And that's a breathing mark. It's pronounced ion, actually, with the accent over the omega. Ion. It's not aeon, it's ion. Alright? You notice that the alpha iota is pronounced I. So it's ion. And you see the accent over the omega there. So it's not ion, it's ion. So the correct pronunciation of the form for age in the Koine is ion. It's not aeon, it's ion, okay? And so you could say, well, that's nitpicking. Well, no, it's not. Because if you say, no, it's not silent, because we're pronouncing it ion. All right? Do you see that? Ion. We are pronouncing the omega. And so if you say aeon, well, you know, you're not pronouncing it correctly. So you can decide on what you want to do. All right? But we're going to get it right as best as we can. So no, the omega in ion is not silent because it's got two syllables and we're pronouncing them both with the long omega. Ion. All right? So that's how you pronounce age, at least in that form. All right, so let's turn to page 6, and we're gonna break down the Greek forms a little bit as far as breathing marks are concerned, as far as punctuation a little bit is concerned, as far as diacritical marks are concerned, like the apostrophe and such. The Greek accents, there's three of them. And then at the end of this lesson, we're going to turn on page 8 and we're going to pronounce those 15 or so forms on page 8 and then look at what they mean. All right? Does that sound okay to you? All right, so... So as we move here, we're going to expect that, like, when we meet next time, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going into the analytical Greek lexicon, and you know, I'm going to give you something to do for next time. I'm going to give you an exercise, but. You know, you should be familiar with the alphabet so that you can be in a position to do the next homework assignment. All right? So, let's look on page 6, 7, and 8. That's what we're going to go over tonight in the text. Okay, breathing marks, page 6, subsection or sub-lesson 7. We'll call these we'll call these shorter lessons sub-lessons, because they're numbered throughout the book. It's pretty cool. Breathing mark. Every Greek form beginning with a vowel or a diphthong has a symbol over it called a breathing mark. The rough breathing mark, and it's kind of microscopic there, but it's kind of a hook and it moves to the right. All right, you see that in parentheses. The rough breathing mark, it curves to the right, it's over a vowel, and it indicates that the word is to be pronounced with an initial H sound, like huias. All right, like huiothesian. Huio has a rough breathing mark over the iota in the upsilon iota beginning of it. So when the breathing mark curves to your right, it's a rough breathing. The smooth breathing mark, which is curved to the left, it's hard to see because it's microscopic, but that little comma there is curved to the left, indicates that the word lacks this initial hard H sound. Thus, when we pronounce the Greek form N, or hen actually, I'm sorry, meaning one, it's pronounced hen, because over the epsilon, there's a rough breathing mark. So, epsilon nu with a comma that is rough is pronounced hen. And then it goes on to say an N, that's epsilon and nu, with the breathing mark to the right, means in, and it's pronounced N. Did you get that? Did everybody get that? You're going to have to answer. What about Jan? What about Ron? Yeah, see, this is what happened to Ron. This is got company here. Well, tell him to leave and come back. This is where it gets tough when I don't have a blackboard, okay? And you know, we're just going to make the best of this, okay? We're just going to make the best of this. I don't know if. See, I'm kind of looking on my keyboard to see if I have that. Boy. All right. Well, I can always try to figure out something for next time. Okay. So we'll just keep on going. Suffice it to say that there is an accent or a breathing mark that goes over a particular beginning of forms, especially over the vowels. And if it's curved one way, it can make the form have a different meaning. Like we saw in this example, hen and n in the Greek are written the same way, but according to the breathing mark, it can either mean one or it can mean in. Now that's very important. And so the Greek has little accents and marks that sometimes are very important. And so, you know, like in this book, I have pretty good eyesight, and I still am like, man, it's pretty microscopic off these pages. So, you know, you might want to get a magnifying glass, believe it or not, you know, blow that up a little. For your own sake, okay? Because I'm telling you that as you read let's say you get proficient enough to read the Greek New Testament without any English, Well, you're going to have to, and you're going to try to translate it. Well, you're going to have to be carefully looking at every form and every accent and every breathing mark so you get it right, okay? So that's something good to know. Believe me, that's a little jewel of knowledge right there. It took me a long time to realize that myself. You could say, well, maybe you're just kind of dumb, but... Okay, moving on. It says the breathing mark is always placed over the second vowel of a diphthong, as in the example, ulagetas, meaning blessed. The initial rho or upsilon always have the rough breathing mark, as in chrema. Yeah, that would be chrema. It's actually a rho. Ida chrema, meaning word, and hupakristes, meaning hypocrite. When used with the roll, however, the rough breathing is generally not pronounced. Okay, you're gonna have to go over that by yourself and get that down. But it's not too hard. It's just at this point you should realize that this breathing mark at the beginning of some forms over a vowel, you have to notice if it's moving right or left in order to get the correct pronunciation and in order to get the correct definition of the form. Alright? We move on to Greek punctuation. Although punctuation marks were not used in the ancient Greek, that is the what they call the uncial. By the way, the Koine Greek scriptures that were written in all capital letters with no punctuation is known as uncial. The uncial scriptures. Although the punctuation marks were not in those scriptures, they are found today in all printed editions of the Greek New Testament because it's in lowercase form. The Koine Greek has four marks of punctuation: the comma, the period, which correspond in both form and function to the English comma and period. So in the Koine Greek, a comma is a comma and a period is a period. The colon and the question mark. Well, you have here a colon that has only one dot, and the question mark in the Koine is like a semicolon. So there's a little bit of difference there. Since there is no punctuation in the earliest manuscripts of the New Testament, the punctuation of modern printed editions is often a matter of interpretation. Also, because Greek has no quotation marks in several New Testament passages, it remains uncertain where direct speech begins and ends. And it says, for example, the discourse of the Lord with Nicodemus in John 3. These and other problems of punctuation are best treated when encountered in the Koine Greek New Testament. Well, you know, we have the Holy Spirit, we have knowledge of the scriptures, and I think that helps us out in understanding where somebody talking would begin and end. The Greek diacritical marks. Modern printed editions of the Greek New Testament employ three different diacritical marks. The apostrophe indicates the omission of a final short vowel before a word that begins with a vowel or a diphthong, as in diatou. Diatou, you know, and that means through him. Well, actually, it actually is diatou, but because You have two vowels running together. The apostrophe takes its place. This process is called an elision. Okay, going on, the diuresis, two dots over a letter, occurs where two vowels that normally combine to form a diphthong are to be pronounced separately, as in Isaias, the Greek form for Isaiah. Notice that this word consists of four vowels, Haseias, rather than Haseias, Haseias. Finally, the coronis indicates the combination of two words with the loss of an intermediate letter or letters. This process of merging two words is known as a crasis, or a mingling. And so you can go over that yourself. And finally, on page 7, the Greek accents. And this is something that you're going to have to work with. I mean, we're just, you know, you could say, well, this is pretty boring. You're just reading this off the page there, Mike, and I could do this on my own. Well, you're just gonna have to listen to me. So, I guess tough breaks for you, but I can help you a bit by pronouncing these things, and it's like anything else. It's like hitting a golf ball. If you don't take that club away, and I don't even know why I'm using this, but if you don't take that club away the first 6 inches on the correct line, your whole swing's going to be screwed up. And so you need these basics. These basics right here you're going to encounter them in every sentence of every chapter of the scriptures. So it's very important. The Greek accents. Printed editions of the Koine Greek New Testament use three accent marks. The acute, which is slanted to the left, the grave, which is slanted to the right, and the circumflex, which is kind of a part of a circle that is over a letter. The importance of the accents for studying the Koine is twofold. Accents occasionally distinguish between forms that are otherwise identical. We went over that. Look at this. Example, A means if, and you'll notice that it has a soft breathing mark. But if you have A with a soft breathing mark with a circumflex over it, it means you are. Now, there's quite a difference between if and you are, isn't there? And it all has to do with that circumflex accent over the soft breathing mark. And then two. I mean, you know, this is what it is. This is what Greek is. So, you're gonna have to put your adult pants on for the Koine. Okay, you're gonna have to put your big boy pants on and your big girl pants on for this. All right, number two, accents serve to indicate which syllable in a Greek form is to be stressed in pronunciation. Otherwise, it is possible to read the Koine Greek New Testament without knowing any more about accents. In subsequent lessons, the accents will be treated where relevant. For those with a special interest in learning the rules of Greek accentuation, you should look at Appendix 1. But I'm telling you that if you want to pronounce God's word correctly in the Greek, you're going to have to pay attention to the accents. That's just how it is. And so, in coming down to the last few minutes of this lesson tonight, we're going to go on page 8, and there's about 15 or 20 forms here that we are going to read. We are going to pronounce. All right? And here we go. Apostolos. Now, it's not apostolos. Do you know why? Because the accent is on the first omicron. And the breathing mark is a smooth mark over the first alpha. Alpha. Do you see that? It's not hapostolos. It's apostolos. Do you see that? And it's not apostolos. It's apostolos, because the accent is on the first omicron. Apostolos means apostle. The next form, soma. Soma. And you'll notice that the omega has the circumflex over it. So it's not soma, it's soma. And soma means body. The next one is phoné. It's not phoné, it's phoné. Do you see that accent over the eta at the end there? Phoné. So you have soma and you have phoné. You don't have soma and phoné. You have soma and you have phoné. And phoné means sound, as, you know, in a phone. The next form is cardia. Cardia. And you notice that the accent is over the iota. Cardia, and it means heart. The next one is phobos. It's not phobos. What's phobos? It's like shopping. What's phobos? It's phobos. Okay? I mean, get it. Look at it. It's not phobos. It's phobos. It's not phobos. It's not phobos. It's phobos. That's how you pronounce that form. And so when somebody walks up to you and says, oh yeah, the Greek for fear is phobos, you say, well, what's that? Phobos? That might not even be a Greek form at all. It's phobos. All right, so you decide. Phobos, correct. It's not phobos. And it doesn't matter what the English has done with the Greek. All right, so you have some Greek forms that are transliterated into the English where they actually change the way they sound. But we're not worried about that. Phobos. If you're talking about fear in the Greek, it's not phobos, it's phobos. Phobos, meaning fear. Genos is the next form. Genos. It's not genos, it's genos. It's not genos, it's genos, meaning race. The next form is Philippas. Philippas, actually. Philippas, because the accent is on the first iota. It's not Philippas, it's Philippas, as far as this is written, meaning Philip. The next one has a smooth breathing mark. You notice that the accent is hooked to the left. Exodus. Exodus. Notice that the accent is on the epsilon. So you exodus. It's not exodus. It's exodus, meaning departure, and it's where Exodus comes into the English. The next one is zoe. It's not straight zoe. It's with kind of a DZ sound, because that's how you pronounce zeta, with a DZ. It's not zoe. It's zoe. Really. Zoe. Not zoe. Zoe. That's how you correctly pronounce it. With a DZ sound for the zeta. Zoe. Next one is Petras, meaning Peter. Petras, you can see where the accent is there. The next one is Theos. Theos, it's not Theos. The term for God in the Greek scriptures is not Theos. It's not Theos. It's not Theos. It's Theos. Think about it. How many times have we, even ourselves, said Theos? Or Theos? And it's not Theos at all. And it's not Theos at all. It's Theos. Theos. That's how you pronounce God in the Koine Greek. Theos, not Theos. So, you know, even though our Greek word, or our Greek word, our English word is theologian, so what? You know, the study of God or whatever. It's Theos. I mean, just think about it. Think about how many times you have heard this Greek form, Theos, Theos. It's not that at all. It's Theos. The only problem is that we haven't heard it pronounced correctly, probably hardly at all, because of lazy Americans. Theos, meaning God. The next one is Gune. Notice where the accent is. Gune, meaning woman. And you'll notice that all these forms are very important, all the, aren't they? They're very basic. But how many times in the Greek New Testament, or even in the English New Testament, would we be reading about an apostle, the body, a sound, the heart, fear, a race, Philip, departure, about life, about Peter, about God, or about a woman? You know, so, Gune, correct. Gune. The next one is Pater. Pater, meaning father, paternal. Pater. The next one is Psuke. It's got a Ps sound. The first consonant is Ps. It's pronounced Psuke. Psuke. And that means soul. Psuke. We are a living, or we are a dead soul. The next one is palis, or actually palis. I got the accent wrong on that. It's palis. It's not polis. It's not police. It's palis. All right. I mean, if you're, you know, you can see how people screw these things up. And again, it's not meaningless. It's very important. And the last one is Christos. Christos, meaning Christ. Alright? And so, what we're going to do, and then actually, maybe what we can do next time after we do something else, is maybe you can look on page 9 yourselves and notice that paragraph in the Koine. And with what you've learned so far about the pronunciation of the alphabet and about the accents, that would be a really good paragraph in the Greek to try to read out loud. Okay? Yeah, sure, we can go over the significance of the accents again, Jason. And so I'm going to say this for next time. You look back on page 8. Okay, you see those forms there? Apostolos, Soma, Genos, and the rest. Well, you take out your analytical Greek lexicon, and you find all of those in your lexicon. Okay, that's the assignment for next time. You look over, I don't know how many there are about 20. You look over all of those Greek forms on page 8, and you look them up in your analytical lexicon. That's what your assignment is for next time. And so what we're going to do next time, right off the bat, is we're going to be going into our analytical Greek lexicon by Freiburg, and, you know, we're going to say, oh, apostolos, well, that's on page 75 or whatever, and we're going to look at it. And then you're going to look at it along with me, and you're going to look at the translation of that form, and then you're going to have joy in knowing that you can find it. Okay, great, Kathy. Yeah, you can use any lexicon. The reason why I'm having people all use the same lexicon is because then I can say, well, that's found on page so-and-so, all right? So if you guys have all of the same lexicon, I can say, well, just look at on your lexicon on page 75, and you can turn there, all right? So that's why I'm doing that, okay? But you can use any lexicon if you know how to look up the form. All right, Barney came in at the last minute. And hi, Barney. And what your assignment is for next time, and I don't know the books you have, but your assignment for next time, Barney, is to, if you have the, I don't even know what, do you have a Greek text, Barney? I don't even know what text Barney has. But if he has some things, I can give him a lesson for next time. And so, Jason wanted, so everybody knows their assignment, right? Good, okay. Well, your assignment for next time, Barney, is to turn to page 8 in your textbook. And on page 8, you have about 20 Greek forms, or 15. And what I want all you to do is I want you to look up those forms in a Greek lexicon. All right, I want you to find those forms in your Greek lexicon or your Greek dictionary. And then we're going to all go over that together. All right? Go time. Yeah. And so we're going to all go over that together. All right? So if you have the lexicon that I recommended by Freiburg, then that'll just help us all stay as one easier because I can go to page numbers. But, Kathy, it seems like you're going to be okay anyway. So, Barney, do you have the analytical Greek lexicon by Freiburg? You're going to have to answer. I think so. Okay, well, as we all know, we don't need thinking. We need knowing. All right? You can think anything, but you can know what you should know. We moved. Oh, yeah, we moved so we know what that's like, Barn, but that's no excuse. So we don't have to think so, we have to know so. So, okay, Barney, so you have the textbooks, then, great. Okay, so... So as far as the accents are concerned, we have a young man here that wants to go over the accents. Well, you know, the importance of the Greek accents certainly is how to pronounce the Greek forms. And secondly, you'll notice there, Jason, that we went over, like let's say on page 7, what's really important is... We had an example there where in the Greek you could have an epsilon iota with just a smooth breathing mark, and it means if. But if you put a circumflex over that breathing mark, epsilon iota means you are. Do you see that? Okay, so that's one great importance of them. Hey, it's 6:30 here. Oh. Is that a joke? Barney comes on at 6:30 Pacific time? Oh, man. Okay. I really don't know what to say about... Oh, yeah, I really don't know... I don't know what to say about that. Oh, 5:30? 6:30? Holy cow. I don't know what to say about that one, Barney. See, also too, Jason, if you, in your textbook, if you turn to page 216, 216, okay, there's a few pages there, 216, 217, 218, 219, that will, and you should read that, it's important. And, good. And everybody should look this over, so I hope that, I hope this was fruitful for all you people. These basics are just so important, though, believe me. And so next time, whenever that is, we will be looking, we'll be using the knowledge we have and we're gonna be working with it. And I think that would be a great way, if I can do it, to approach, you know, these things, because then you can actually work right in your lexicon. You know, I think that'll be a beautiful thing. So right off the bat, you're doing something that you can go away from this program and you can use it. So I thank you all for being here a lot. I enjoy doing this very much, and I love all of you and know all of you, and I'm thankful that I'm a believer along with you in the mystery. Really, I am. And so, no problem. My joy. I mean, seriously, because what this does is this helps me too, a lot. So great. And then until next time, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this period of time, these beautiful people, these beautiful saints of the Church of the Fullness of the Son of God. We've been given gifts and promises that are beyond our wildest imaginations, in fact, but in fact they are true, and in fact you want us to believe and have faith in them, and we pray that we might have the strongest faith of any people out of any time in the history of mankind in this present evil day. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen.